People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. This is Fine Music Radio, Rodney Trudgeon welcoming you to this week's edition of People of Note. Now, my guest this week is Dr. Matotsi Mukozi, who is the current Chief Executive Officer of Tygerberg Hospital. He's the former CEO of the Red Cross War Memorial Children's Hospital, a position he held for 7 years before going back to Tygerberg Hospital. He started his healthcare management career in 2008 as one of the medical superintendents at Tygerberg Hospital. Dr. Mukozi holds a number of degrees, a medical degree, postgraduate diploma in health management, and a master's in business management and administration. Also importantly, Dr. Mukozi is a pastor of Jesus the Savior Church, and he is also a registered marriage officer in the Republic of South Africa. And he's authored 2 books, which we're going to hear about in time. So, Dr. Mukozi, it's good to have you here, and thank you for coming in. I know you're a busy man.
Rodney, thanks for inviting me.
I'm looking forward to finding out all about your job. And I think I'm going to ask you a naive question first. What does a chief executive officer of a hospital do? Is it primarily administrative?
Okay, so let me make it in simple terms.
Yes, I understand.
So in simple layman's language, think of a principal in a school.
Yes.
Because people usually understand that. So it's almost like somebody who then runs the administration and management of the institution, and also making sure that your role is not only inwardly focused to support the people that you work with or to help them with admin and management and that, but you also then have a role to the outside stakeholders. How do you engage then with outside stakeholders? So my role actually as the CEO of the Tygerberg Hospital doesn't only evolve around what happens at Tygerberg. It's about what happens at Tygerberg within the bigger health fraternity. So as my position as the CEO, I'm actually also part of the top management of the Western Cape Department of Health, because then we then have to translate policies into the operations on the ground.
Okay. And am I right in saying that Tygerberg Hospital is one of the biggest hospitals around, certainly in the Cape?
Yes, so actually is the second largest in the whole of sub-Saharan Africa.
Oh, really? Gosh.
So for the Western Cape, then obviously the biggest hospital with 1,384 beds. So
well,
that's
that
a massive institution.
And then presumably a massive staff as well, if you've got that
massive
many beds.
Staff. Our staff complement is around 4,700, so close to 5,000 staff. Actually, the 4,700, those are the staff that we call staff on PESAL. But we also have additional staff, for example, people who come just for sessions or people who help us here and there for certain hours and all that. I'm not including those. So actually, okay. If you look at that and our annual budget, it's over 3.3 billion, which actually is
billion.
A big...
Yes, billion.
Over 3.3 billion.
Oh, great.
So it's actually a massive institution with a lot of staff, but also with a lot of responsibility and many things that we've got to do. And therefore, you need a bigger team to manage such a massive operation.
And that's what you've got, presumably. I mean, you are the kingpin, you're the CEO,
exactly.
But presumably you have quite a core team working for you to control the various departments and so on.
Exactly. So my role, basically, it's almost like an orchestra conductor who says,
I've got
all this team of all these people with various responsibilities and roles, but how do we then produce a fine music out of all this diverse skills of people and all that. So we've got good team of managers. I've got, for example, Adam Mead, the director of clinical services, who's a person who runs all the operations regarding clinical services. I've got the head of nursing, who then all the nurses and nursing issues then report to that person. Then I've got also a head of corporate services, who then would be responsible for corporate services. Within corporate services, we've got engineering regarding infrastructure, then we've got issues about HR, human resource issues, then we've got finance and supply chain. So all those things, each of them have got their component heads, And then those heads then would report to me. So then again, the other issue is that on the clinical services, because Tiger Beg Hospital is also an academic or a teaching hospital. So it means we've got a very strong relationship with the university. So the university that we work closely with is mainly the University of Stellenbosch, so the Faculty of Health Sciences, University of Stellenbosch, but other universities also within our vicinity. We work with.
Does Tigerberg specialize in anything, or is it a completely a general hospital?
So we actually render what we call tertiary and quaternary services. So it's highly specialized services. We've got specialized services. For example, you could say somebody maybe specializes in maternal health, obstetrics and gynecology, whether somebody specializes in pediatrics, which is children, or somebody specializes, maybe it's a physician who specializes in internal medicine. But within that, then a person can specialize after specializing. So we call them subspecialists. Like somebody would then be a specialist just for the heart.
Yes.
For example, then you say this guy is a cardiologist. So it means he first trained as a doctor. After then he trained as a specialist physician, which means now you are a specialist doctor. Then on top of that, you say, I actually now want just to focus on this. So we've got all that variety at Tiger Beg Hospital. Mm-hmm. So actually you've got, I mean, even in terms of training, you would start with interns, doctors who have just finished. So we've got those because we closely linked even with the faculty, universities and training. Yeah, yeah. Then you would have other people who are working there as medical officers, which we call general practitioners. Then you've got specialists in their field, general specialists. And above that, we also still have what we call subspecialists or specialists above the specialist.
It must be a massive operation. And is the hospital quite busy?
Yes, the hospital is quite busy. And we actually, even our trauma center, and we've got many things that keep us very busy. The challenge with that is that you've got all these competing needs. Any patient need, especially as Tiger Beg Hospital, because we're not focused just on maybe a particular thing. We don't only do children, for example, because if I just talk children only, our child services, we've got over 300 beds just for children. So yeah, when you say, then you could have had actually a separate children's hospital, but then all that, those operations are happening in there. So you would have that, then you would have, for example, the imaging services. It's a department on its own. Why it's like your x-rays, your CT scans, your MRIs. So all these different units, you've got surgical units, you've got theaters. So we've got more than 30 theaters.
Oh, gosh. It's a huge, sounds like a massive place. Let's have your first piece of music, Dr. Mukwasi. What are you going to share with us as your first piece of music?
My first piece of music, it's a song called You Are the Pillar That Holds My Life, which to me it speaks a lot to saying, in our own lives, if we don't have something that we're depending on, we will struggle in life. So that's why I like this song, because then even with my busy schedule, my busy work, then I know how to in other words, where do I get my strength? Where do I get my wisdom? Because sometimes we do things on our own and we think we can manage it.
Yes, right. Okay, let's listen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. O kali lomsebenzi, we are prepared. Hallelujah. We believe ukuthi nawe njengoba la, you are going to be blessed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Tsepa, my daughter, come. Give her a hand of praise as she comes. Welcome, Tsepa. Hey. Hey.
One more time.
Father, you are the pillar.
A song there called You Are the Pillar That Holds My Life, and it was the first choice of my guest on People of Note here on Fine Music Radio this week, Dr. Matsotsi Mukuzi, who is the current Chief Executive Officer of Tygerberg Hospital, and we've been talking about this vast operation that you have. And one of the other things I wanted to say was when you were appointed from the Children's Red Cross Hospital, the Red Cross War Memorial, were there a whole lot of things that you felt you had to change, or was it an up-and-running place with a good reputation?
So maybe just so that I reflect back, then I can link my work at Red Cross and the work that needs to be done there. So if you know about Red Cross, there's a lot of good things happening there, good reputation and all
very,
that.
Very good.
So
yeah.
We were running all those good things and that. So when the position at Tygerberg became vacant, for me, it was a question, do I remain where I am with the comfort that I've got, or do I think I can still make a difference also in another place? And my heart has always been at Tygerberg, because I worked at Tygerberg. Before I went to Red Cross, I actually worked at Tigerberg Hospital for 7 years as one of the medical managers there, whom we used to be called superintendents in those days. So then I went to Red Cross. We did a good job there and all that. But I then still felt there's some unfinished business that I need to go back to Tigerberg, and we work together. So there's a lot of things that are happening at Tigerberg, but not all people know what we are doing. And you find that the few things that are not going well, that's what sometimes make news headlines.
That always makes
people talk about
news.
One of the issues for me was to say, when I go there, let's start being proactive and start sharing with the people what we are doing. Let's start telling people who we are, so that then people don't have perceptions and define us about what they heard from somebody. Let them hear from us. We acknowledge that there are things that we still need to improve on. So when I went there, I said I've just two things that I need to do. One was the issue about the organizational culture of the organization. Just because if you can get the people feel that they are valued, they are supported, they are part of this, you can do anything as long as people are behind you. So that was one thing for me. The second thing was the brand and reputation of Tigerberg Hospital. So that when somebody mentioned the name Tigerberg Hospital out there, what should go through their mind? So I said then, within that, if I can achieve those two things, because all the other ingredients are there. We've got highly specialized, highly skilled doctors there, professors, and like I've indicated to you, since we are an academic center, so we've got highly skilled professors, highly skilled nurses, all the specialties that you need. But I think the issue is more about how then do we get people to really work at their best and support them, so that even then what we do out there, people would then know Tigerberg Hospital for the excellent health service that we provide, excellent academic teaching and training that we provide. But that you can only get that if you walk along with the people, if you mobilize the people, and people then understand your vision. So when I took over there in February, I had an engagement with all staff. We call it a town hall meeting, where you invite all staff and then share with them my vision, which ultimately then is also the vision of the management team that I work with. Then everybody knows this is what we are here for. I even told them, guys, the things that people talk about Tigerberg Hospital today, some of it is historical. So our forebears have defined what they think Tigerberg Hospital should be like, but we are here today. We can define the Tigerberg Hospital that we want to see, that we can all be proud of.
So you've been there since February.
No, I was there since December.
Last year.
So it's just that then the February was when I was sharing, when I called this town hall meeting to share my vision.
And do you feel, it's nearly a year now that you've been there, do you feel that your wishes have come true, or are you still working hard at them?
We are working hard, but the good thing is that people on the ground are already starting to experience the difference. So we just had another town hall meeting about 3-4 weeks ago, where again we call all the staff and just share with them. You can already see the willingness of people, and people are feeling, okay, we are in this with you, we are in this with you. Because one of the things that I said to them, I said, guys, this is not about somebody out there who will come and bring a change here. We are here. So there is a phrase called, we are the people we have been waiting for. So in many places you would find people expect other people from outside to come and change their situation. But I'm saying to our staff, to the people, the guys, we are the people. We are the people who should do something. And I even gave them an example of a puzzle. When you are playing pieces of puzzle, even a small piece that you might think is insignificant, if that piece is missing, then you don't have a complete puzzle.
Absolutely.
So I was saying to them, it means all the workers, all of us who are at Tigerberg, irrespective of your rank, you've got an important role to play. And together then we form this complete whole.
So then the morale goes up, doesn't it? The staff morale
exactly
stays up, because they know they're working towards the same end, towards the same project.
Exactly. That's very much encouraging. And actually that, unfortunately, it coincided well with what the provincial department has decided to do for us, and also the national government. So provincially, they have given us money to refurbish the current hospital, because I think some of the places in the hospital were not looking good anymore, getting debilitated and all that. But now it's looking good. So there are many activities now where even we are refurbishing some of our units, but there's also a plan to build a new Tigerberg Hospital, which would be a regional hospital in the Belhar area. And then we will also still have the central hospital that will remain in the current footprint. So there are many things that are happening at the same time, all of which would make people to feel excited and look forward with optimism.
So you must be feeling rather excited as well and optimistic because your plans are coming together.
I'm also very much encouraged with that. So actually the other time I was just laughing with people. I said, sometimes when things work well and you just somehow things go well when you are there, people think it's all about you, when actually it was just the grace that you find yourself at the right place at the right time. That's right. Why I also believe that the Lord's hand is usually in what we do. It's when he's directing your path, he sometimes makes you look better than you are.
What is your next choice of music? What are you going to share with us next, number two?
My next choice of music, it's a song called Ngiyakuthanda Moyo Ingcwele by Benjamin Dube. It's a song that says, I appreciate you, Holy Spirit. I love you. I acknowledge you in my life. So, because it's more about, Lord, lead me, guide me. In some of the things as a human, I may not know what to do. You know the future. You know what I need to do. I appreciate you in my life.
Dr. Mukhozi's choice there, his second choice of music. He's my guest on People of Note this week. I want you just to tell us what the name of that was, because I don't think I'll pronounce it correctly.
I said, Ngiyakuthanda Moyo Ngcwele, which means I love you, Holy Spirit. It's a song by Benjamin Dube, Pastor Benjamin Dube. It means I acknowledge you, I appreciate you in my life, because I feel that I need the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit in my life in what I do.
Now, my guest, Dr. Mukhozi, is the current Chief Executive Officer of Tygerberg Hospital, as you've been hearing. But I also said at the beginning, he is a pastor of the Jesus, the Savior Church. And from what you've been saying and from what I hear, faith and belief is very, very important to you in all aspects of your life.
Very much so, Rodney. So for me, I actually just say that if it were not for the Lord, I wouldn't be where I am. And also for the things that we need to do, I believe that even leaders, the leaders that we have today, I believe they should have certain form of faith. They should have a way of, because even the corruption and all immorality that we see, it's usually because people don't have a conscience. But if at least then you know you've got a relationship with the Lord, then that at least guides your life and lead you. So one of my issues that I've written on my email when I sent through, I quote these words from Solomon where he says, Lord, give me wisdom and understanding to lead these your people. So I believe that as leaders, we need to acknowledge that we can't do that on our own.
Right, absolutely. Now, have you always been a man of faith and belief since you were a young boy? Because you trained as a pastor, didn't you, alongside medicine?
So what happened is that before I went to the university, that's the time when I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus. Then I went to the medical school. Then after finishing, I wanted to specialize, surprisingly, in pediatrics, in children, child health. So I didn't go that way. Then I went back to private practice. Then when I was in private practice, then I trained in the pastoral side with all the training, the ministerial training. And then when we then relocated to Cape Town, because I was still in Limpopo at that time, and when we relocated to Cape Town, then I had to then have the church on one side. There's also the work that I do in healthcare management.
So your life is actually quite busy, because I presume your healthcare management, as you describe it, is very, very time-consuming. But exactly. Also thought, prayer, preparation for services is also very thought-provoking and time-consuming.
Yeah. You're actually right. So the good thing with that is that you would find that let's take my spiritual side of it. Instead of it being time-consuming, it's actually a refreshing moment, because the problem, I think, with some of the leaders is we just go all the way and it's only with your mind or with your brain. Then you don't have time to refuel. So for me, I actually see that spiritual side of it almost as a refueling moment. So it actually refreshes me. It's almost like when I'm studying the Word of God, when I'm studying the Bible, or when I'm praying, I don't see it as a burden, because I find this is actually what's even uplifting me more. Sometimes you find maybe you are struggling with a particular problem or a challenge, whether it's in a work situation or whatever, and then all of a sudden, then you pray about this, and then you start realizing, oh, actually, this thing is not as difficult as I thought. And that's why I'm saying when Solomon says, Lord, give me wisdom to lead this your people. It's
wisdom
about what you need.
It's such an important word. Yeah. And this church, Jesus the Savior, is that a church that you formed? What sort of denomination is it?
Yes, Jesus the Savior Church is a Pentecostal church, or we are also called charismatics. So we believe that in being born again, in other words, you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior Church. This church was established, the Lord used me to be the person who established this church around 2004. So, and then we've been going for quite some time. So when we started, we were based at Milnerton only. After that, then we had a branch in Atlantis. After that, we had a branch in Kales River. So the work growing like that. But basically then it's the church that I could say the Lord used me to be part of establishing that.
And have you got a good big congregation?
Yes, we are growing, and then now with COVID and that, so we have decided actually to move mainly to the Kales River side, and all of us there, and then have different services. But we've also acquired a land where we're going to build, because for all these years we've been renting in many different places, so we feel it's time to have a house of our own.
Right. And your wife is also a form of a pastor, isn't
yes,
she?
Yes, my wife is actually a full-time pastor. She's ordained as a minister of the gospel. She actually has got a degree in theology, so she's full-time in the ministry.
Okay.
So maybe that's also what makes my work a little bit simpler. So
she can help you a lot.
So she can do a lot of those.
Yeah.
And also because, I mean, day-to-day people have got issues and you need to counsel people. You need to do. So she's mainly full-time with that.
Okay. Because that's what I was going to ask you. A minister has to deal with his flock.
Exactly.
And help them, therapy, consult them, all sorts of things.
Exactly.
Bury them, marry them.
Exactly. So for me, for example, you would find that most of the work that I do with congregants would usually be after hours or weekends.
Yes.
So even, for example, as a registered marriage officer, it means I can solemnize marriages. But usually then, we usually do that over weekends, Saturday or Sunday. And also the preaching for me is mainly Sundays. So somehow, during the week, I still find time to still do my secular job, which is being the CEO. But of course, it's not sustainable. I can't continue like that for years. So in my mind, I've set up a certain time when I would have to go full time into the ministry.
Oh, really? That's what you want to do ultimately?
Ultimately. That's where my heart is.
That's where your heart is. We'll come back to that in a moment, but I think we're going to have your third piece of music now. What you've got for us next?
My third piece of music is a song called You Deserve It by J.J. Heston. You deserve it, meaning, Lord, you deserve my praises. So in essence, when I praise God, when I worship God, it's because he deserves it. He's worthy of our praises. So it's more like, unlike where we mainly only think about what God will do for me, we should also say, Lord, have my praises, receive my praise.
Simple song goes like this. My hallelujah belongs to you. Oh Lord, my hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. Oh Lord, yes, my hallelujah belongs to you. You deserve it. You deserve it. Come on, y'all gotta come on, say, my hallelujah. From the bottom of your heart, lift your voice. My hallelujah. Come on. hands together one time.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
A song they called You Deserve It. Who is performing there, Dr. Mukuzi?
It's J.J. Hairston. And I just like it because then that's the time when you say, Lord, I know you've done many things for me, but this is my time to come back to you and say, you deserve all my praises.
My guest on People of Note this week here on Fine Music Radio is Dr. Matotsi Mukuzi, who is the current Chief Executive Officer of Tygerberg Hospital. And apparently, well, we said you were at the Red Cross War Memorial Children's Hospital for something like 7 years.
Correct.
What made you want to become involved in healthcare in that sort of administrative managerial way? Because you are a fully trained doctor, and you said you were a GP. Did you just feel you could give more as one of these CEOs?
Correct. So what happened is that around the year 2000, my heart started moving more and more to health management, and I felt that if I go into health management, then I would also have maybe bigger influence, and maybe I just preferred now to go into administration. So around 2006, then I started my training in terms of the health care management training, and then that's when then I got a post as one of the medical superintendents at Tygerberg. And then from there, around 2010, then I also went further to do my MBA just to equip me more as a manager now. Mm-hmm. And I'm enjoying that. So from Tygerberg, the 7 years, actually it was 7 years at Tygerberg, 2006 to 2013, then 7 years at Red Cross,
okay,
2013 to 2020, and then here I am today.
And then I wonder where you go from here. But let's not go there at the moment, because
exactly,
you said your heart might be more in the pastoral side. Do you not miss the general practitioner medical work? Do you not miss that?
Not at all. Actually, I feel it's more better in the position that I'm at, because most of the things that I would have been worried about when I was just a medical practitioner, where maybe the issues of resource constraints, you feel you want to do this, but you just feel your hands are tied. So I think at the position that I'm at now, where I also have got responsibility in managing resources, in coming with innovative ways of doing things, even engaging with the very same doctors, because when you go there, you see with them, what else can we do? How can we do things differently? And I feel my role now supporting those on the front line, I feel I'm making more bigger impact than I would have been doing if I was just focusing only just as a doctor myself.
And with the, I have to ask you about the COVID thing. Have you really had to battle with that as well at Tygerberg?
That was the biggest challenge for the healthcare system globally.
Yes,
so I think, as you know. So at Tygerberg Hospital, surprisingly, the first case that came, it was at Tygerberg Hospital. And actually when we started, Tygerberg Hospital were like the designated COVID hospital.
Oh, really?
And because people didn't know that it would spread so much that everybody ultimately would have to be involved with COVID. So it's almost like the past 18 months or so, close to 2 years now, the focus has been largely on COVID. Mm. And surprisingly, because that meant we had to add additional resources to try and cope with the load. But even with that, that was not enough. So we had to now start de-escalating some of the essential services, delay some of the operations that maybe should have been undertaken, delay some of the services that we felt maybe they are not emergencies, they can wait a bit. So COVID on its own has also had a massive impact on the healthcare system, not only in terms of stretching us to the limit, but also there are many cases now, we've got a lot of backlogs now, that when we feel now that the levels of COVID have come down, we've got a lot of backlogs to pick up in the surgical side, all the operations that have been ignored for some years and all that. Now we've got to pick up that. That's why we're actually even looking forward and say, may the fourth wave not come. But there's already a talk now that the fourth wave is on its way. And
so your whole year at Tygerberg has pretty well been dominated by having to deal with this COVID problem.
Exactly. So actually what ended up happening is we developed what we call whole of hospital response, where you find that doctors in other units were also asked, can you pause what you do a bit and come here? It's all hands on deck. Mm. Come here and let's deal with this COVID issue, all of us.
Gosh.
So it was really a very distressing moment. And more than that, we've also lost some of our staff to COVID, which is even more tragic. Mm. And we actually took time provincially, as I indicated to you, that I'm also part of the top executive of the Department of Health Western Cape,
yes.
Where we say we need to have an intentional moment to grieve, because usually you don't even have time to grieve.
Mm.
You are just so busy helping other people, but emotionally we are drained, we are also affected, we've lost colleagues, we've lost loved ones, so we are humans like anybody else, and so that's why it's necessary also to have time just to grieve.
That's why they say one of the big problems, residual problems of this whole COVID thing, is mental stress, depression.
Exactly.
People suffering badly from depression and needing therapy and needing time to
exactly.
grieve. And they're not being given time to grieve.
Exactly. And it's even more challenging when you are actually in the medical field, because people think you are the one who should be helping others.
Oh.
You see?
Yeah.
So it's very difficult now to say the person who was supposed to help us now is the one that we should help. So that's why then we've really realized there's really no stigma around mental health. If a person has got an issue and they need to be helped, you are a person first before you are a doctor. So in essence, when you need help, just know when to call for help.
Right.
Yeah.
Would the doctors have specialist helpers, or can they say, I was a doctor and I was suffering from depression?
Yeah.
Can I go to a therapist that I choose, or does the hospital supply therapists?
So we've got two approaches that we can use. Firstly, at the provincial level, we've sourced the services of service provider currently for the current time.
Mm-hmm.
It's Metropolitan Health.
Right.
They provide psychological support to our staff all throughout the province. So it means the first line of defense would be those. But then also, even within as a health system, like at Tigerberg, one of the specialties that we have is obviously psychiatrists and psychologists. So they can also offer some help. Beyond that, some people would prefer maybe their own, a person of their own choice, in which case then you could go private. Then in private sector, you might get somebody specifically that you want for you as a person. But if it's just generally the help that you need, we've got enough support. But it won't necessarily be the very specific person you want.
Yeah. Because but there's someone there for you.
There's definitely,
and that's the main
someone.
Thing if you're suffering.
Exactly.
Let's have another piece of music, Doctor. What's our number four?
My next piece of music, it's a song called You Are the Salt of the Earth by Minister Magndere. Salt of the earth, light of the world, meaning when we are in this world, we have a role to play to make other people feel good. So if you look at a salt, the salt is not existing for its own sake. It's there to give flavor, it's there to preserve, but then other people then come and enjoy the benefits of that salt. Other people come and enjoy the benefit of that light. So we are the salt of the earth.
A song there called We Are the Salt of the Earth. This music that we're listening to, Dr. Mokozi, is what you would call gospel music, is it? Is that right?
Exactly. It's gospel music or good news.
Good news music. Yeah. My guest is Dr. Matotsi Mokozi, the current chief executive officer of Tygerberg Hospital. And I heard you creep in just now that your heart is more in the ministry side, and that maybe your next move will be away from hospitals and into the ministry full time. But may I just ask you, right at the beginning when you were a young man, did you have any desire to become a minister? Or was it medicine first and foremost?
Not actually, first and foremost, I wanted to be a radio presenter.
No, you're joking.
In those days, yeah, I actually wanted to be. I actually, all along, all the time, was saying, I really want to be a radio presenter. And in those days when we started, I mean, where I grew up, there were not even TVs. So all I knew was radio presenters. And I liked that. I liked that even until grade 12, which in those days it was standard 10.
That's right.
And then all of a sudden people said, but you're good in mathematics and science. Maybe you should do something in the line of mathematics and science. The first thing in my mind was maybe I should go into engineering field. Then medicine was like second. It's just that then when for engineering, the university where I applied, before they responded, then the ones where I've applied for medicine, then they responded first. Then I took medicine. And then I fell in love with medicine.
Oh, okay. So at that point of your career, you never thought of becoming a minister?
No, medicine was the big thing. And like I said, that I even actually came down to Red Cross, surprisingly Red Cross and Croix de Skier in the year 1994. I wanted to specialize in pediatrics with children, I've said earlier. So, and then after that, then I had to go back to Limpopo, had a private practice. Only 1997, I sensed the call of God upon my life, calling me into the ministry to do the work of the Lord. That's okay. Only when this whole thing
And you've
happened.
Written... You've written two books, haven't
yes,
you?
Correct.
Leading the Flock and Key to an Extraordinary Life. So those are both spiritual books, are they?
Correct. They are both, I would say, Christian books. Mm-hmm. But the first one, Leading the Flock, it also has got leadership principles. Because leading the flock, in this case I was giving a context where you are a minister, you are leading the flock of God. But every leader, you're actually leading a certain flock. There are people that are looking up to you.
Yes.
People that are entrusting their lives on you and to you. So therefore, there's a lot of responsibility upon the leader. So in that book, I've actually just been exposing also the fact that a lot of corruption and the bad things that we see in the days that we're living in. It's not that there are no leaders, but we are looking for leaders who will lead by example. We are looking for leaders who would be passionate about the people who have placed their hopes on those leaders.
Absolutely.
So that's why then that Leading the Flock, even though it's a Christian book, but I think there's a lot of leadership principles there that one can...
Are there more books to come? I dare say
there are. There are, definitely. Because this second one, Key to Extraordinary Life, so this one is also about more about your the faith walk. And your belief, and how then, I like an example of an eagle. If you look at an eagle, even though it's a bird, unlike other birds which easily get tired, fly from tree to tree, an eagle would mount up high, and then would remain high for quite a long time, because there's something in that eagle which is not there in all the other birds. So, in this Key to an Extraordinary Life, it's how through the union that we have with the Lord, with our Maker, with the original purpose giver, how you can soar in life. Not that there are no problems, because that bird that's up there, that eagle, it's not that gravity is not pulling it down like any other bird,
yes.
But it keeps on soaring high.
Yes.
It means it's got something, there's something in it that makes a difference.
Gosh, you must have a very interesting and very busy life to be the CEO of a place like Tygerberg Hospital. Must give you long hours in the day, and then you still have to deal with your spiritual side and the people who look to you for help. So you have a busy life, don't you, Doctor?
Correct. I really have a busy life, but the one thing that helps me is also investing in people and trusting people. So if I delegate, the issue of delegating to people, trusting that people will do the best they can, and you are just there to support them. I think the thing that makes many leaders to fail is because they want to do everything all by themselves. So I once heard this thing which says, when you are a leader, don't insist on making all the mistakes yourself. Give others a chance also to make mistakes. You see, then you can support them.
Okay. Yeah. May I say thank you very much for coming in on a busy day, and I know you have a busy time. Thanks for coming in, and all strength to your arm in both these extraordinary fields you're working in. I was talking to Dr. Matotsi Mokozi, who is the current Chief Executive Officer at Tygerberg Hospital. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you very much, Rodney, and thanks to Fine Music Radio for inviting me and giving me this opportunity. It was really a pleasure. Thank you very much.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.